Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals are so comfy, all you'll have to worry about is how you're going to personalize them. Choose your favorite classic clog, sandal, or slide. Then load them up with your favorite Jibbitz charms to create a truly one-in-a-million pair. Experience all-day comfort you can make totally your own at Crocs.com. That's C-R-O-C-S.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the bonus episode for October 2019. Although, technically, I guess there's two bonuses this month. It doesn't matter. It's about every month or so we give you guys a bonus show. And today's no different. Thanks for your support on our support system at therewillbedungeons.com. Therewillbedungeons.com. Go check it out if you haven't looked at all the details, or maybe an upgrade that you would have for yourselves that you might like. Bump it up. Or not. Keep it where it is. Either way, we love you. And if you haven't done it, that means you're getting this a week later. Woe is you. Well, if you go support us at our thing, then you don't have to wait. You get it the same day everybody else does. All right, let's dive right in. As you know, we all sit here and we get ready to answer a bunch of questions. Kristen has them at the ready. Take it away.
Okay, first question. Bo, you made a pretty bold storytelling choice having Walnash reveal so much to the party. Did you always plan on that, or did you insert it for another reason? And if so, what?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it?
All right.
Well, did I always plan on it? I mean, I think so.
Okay.
It's strange planning D&D, because you're not sure exactly how things are going to unfold, right? So.
Yeah, I'm guessing from today's episode that there were a lot of things that we decided to do that you didn't. There's no way you planned on what happened tonight. There's no way, right? Like, all that stuff was pretty improv.
What, tonight?
Yeah, like our.
Well, no, what you guys did was what you guys did, but you know, knowing that there's an end goal and a confrontation and that.
Right.
I mean, it depends on what you're asking. Did I plan exactly that it was going to be revealed at that exact moment in that exact way? No. Was there a sense that the transversal drive and what it was capable of and the choices that it would present? Yes, right from the beginning.
Right. To me, that's fascinating, which is why I guess people ask.
Yeah.
Good answer.
There's still stuff that's not yet revealed.
Whoa.
Everyone still has their secrets. Most people, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to delve into some penis talk today. With the introduction of the Blue Bull and Monster Mender, you said that Monster Mender can regrow limbs in non-lizard folk, but it can poison them. Does this mean Nash could regrow his penis?
Oh, man.
No, it can regrow. I'm not sure if I misspoke when I said it. It can regrow the limbs of lizard folk.
Oh.
It doesn't necessarily work on other races.
So if I... Okay. So humans, not so much, maybe, possibly, but probably not.
It might not. It's unproven, but it definitely worked in the case of Varel.
I mean, Kristen, if I was to have my guess as to if whether or not that particular appendage is ever reformed, it'll come in the form of magic, some sort of, that isn't a potion. It'll be some sort of ritualistic something that'll give me back my fertility.
Dark fertility ritual. We had a follow-up question, not to downplay the prowess of Nash's penis, but limbs are usually arms and legs. Fine counterpoint. And even if he could regrow it, is it worth the price of losing an item?
Wait, losing an item slot? Is that what he said?
Yeah, because you're sticking stuff up there now. Is your new habit?
The bag of unusual holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't want to go back to normal. Like, to me, that's an add, that's a bonus and a fun new aspect of my character. It's kind of like the baby arm. I never want that to go away. you know, Bo may have his ideas, but I, you know, these little additions, as weird as they are, they're some of my favorite things. So you'd think I'd go, well, as long as I can stay a dragon, I don't care. But no, the answer is I like having a crotch pouch for things. Crotch pocket.
Crotch pocket, like a hot pocket.
Yeah, like a hot pocket. Exactly. Or in Varel's phalanges
that
case.
That is actually gross.
Cold pocket is more like it. Anyway.
And then continuing with some Nash stuff, John, you prompted this, and somebody in Discord took one for the team. Scott, what's the story behind the ring?
The ring.
The wedding ring.
Oh, the wedding ring. Okay. Yeah, so...
I feel like we should preface this. There's going to be Scott's version of this story, and there's going to be Bo and John's version of this story, and it's probably two different things.
Maybe. Okay, so what happened? I mean, this is what really happened. Table talk-wise is what happened. We realized we needed a diamond in order to make whatever it's called, orb, scary, fasty orb. What is it?
Good God, chromatic.
Chromatic orb, sorry. To make it work, you needed a diamond. And it could be any diamond. You could get it anywhere, but we weren't anywhere we were going to find it. And we had just leveled up, and I wanted to use that spell pretty bad. And so we got to thinking or whatever. And I don't remember who actually said, well, Wayne, did you have a ring when you got married? And my answer was, oh, yeah, of course I did. I had a ring when I got married. It's a diamond ring. Here it is right here on Nash's hand, like on his, you know, right in the finger it's supposed to be, or left hand, I guess. And I immediately thought, well, that's all I need. So when the time arose to use the spell for the first time, I was going to do this dramatic jam the thing into the orb, and suddenly I have my power. So that, is it different than that, John? Or did I get it right? Or
I mean, you touched on most of the details. So one thing people might not know is that we did a spell audit with Scott, Bo and I did. And we went through, we took a look at his spells. We did a little reworking on old Nash Maggard. But the thing that I think is the funniest about the ring is we're racking our brains on how he's going to be able to cast this spell if he takes it. We come up with the idea of, oh, he can just have the ring on his finger. And Scott's like, yeah, and then I jam it in the orb. And we're like, well, no, you don't have to. It's a ring on your finger. You can just use the ring on your finger.
Oh, no.
And Loverboy here is like, yeah, but it's cooler if I just jam it in the orb. So we go through all this trouble to give him a wedding ring, something of sentimental value to his character's wife. And he's like, no, but it's just way cooler if I just jam it in this orb and cast it that way. So anybody, and I think I saw somebody mention this, they're like, why did he put it in the orb? Why not just cast it from his hand? We told him he could do that, and he decided, no, it had to be in the orb. That was 100% a Scott/Nash decision.
That is correct. I forgot about that. Yeah, the goal was to get the diamond no matter what, and their point was, well, if it's on you, you got it. But I really like the idea of, like, in the pinch going, we got to do this. Chink, and then just have it break off into that, and I could explain it to Angela Ashley when I get home. Like, she'd be like, what happened to your wedding ring? And I'd say, oh, you want to hear this heroic thing I had to do? And I would explain it, and I'd show her the orb, and I'd say, ah, oh, this is even better. This really shows how our love will always last, because now I can shoot cool shit out of it.
I'll always jam it into orbs.
So yeah, it was a weird thing, but it was necessary, I felt. Like, it felt like the most Nash thing I could do.
No, it wasn't. I think that was the point. But it's fine. It's okay. Cool.
Thank you. We get it. Thank you very much.
Just a flavor thing. And speaking of flavor, Scott, if I remember correctly, you can acid breath outside of dragon form. And it seems like there should be an unlimited amount of acid breath. Are there reasons why Nash isn't making the fly references when using his acid breath, like Jeff Goldblum as Grundlefly?
Oh, I eat donuts with it, though. I just sort of barf on the donut and then eat the donut. No, that's not true. Okay. I love that scene. That's a great scene in the movie. No, I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I kind of forget that I have it when I'm out of dragon form. I just don't think about it. So I probably should more, although it basically at that point would act like a cantrip. And I already have acid splash as a cantrip. So it's kind of redundant. And I probably should have thought of this last time we were rejiggering my stuff. But, yeah, I,
Your dragon breath, I think, is a once per day, once per long rest deal.
Oh, as in human form?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I could use it at will.
Also, probably way more powerful than the acid splash.
It is.
All right. Well, it's just something I got to remember then, because I just don't think about it when we're in these fights. But I'll try to. So I appreciate the reminder. There's a lot of Nash questions in here.
I know there were quite a few. Tried to get a cool flow here, but we're switching it now.
All right.
This one is for Varel. During a recent extra content Q&A, Bo and Kyle discussed Varel multiclassing because Barbarian is a simple class for a complex Kyle. Well, I love the idea. I also had the shower thought. Why doesn't the Eye of Grojil level up with Varel and grant him additional powers befitting the God Killer? Something like allowing Varel to willingly enter the rage of Grojil once per long rest, or giving his claws a sort of spell nullification ability.
Well, Bo?
Yeah. Started as a Varel question, turned into a Bo question.
Maybe we can hash it out.
But
this.
No, there is a feature of the flaming shield that is yet to be revealed that I have discussed and unlocked.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
But for the most part, I mean, items don't really level up. So I'm not sure. You know, we could, but that's not the item, right? So, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Good idea. So listeners, oh, that's interesting. Maybe the way it's been, I always kind of had it presented too, kind of like my heart even. Like maybe down the road, there's further development for those items. Like, in other words, upgradable gear, but you're saying no, not so much, or not necessarily.
Well, there is no upgradable gear in general in the game, right?
Right. But couldn't you do that? Couldn't you say, all right, add your Eye of Grojil now has plus whatever to something, and he could manually keep track of it because he, not that he leveled it up, but he, you know, unlocked some new power or something. It's possible, right?
I mean, the text for Eye of Grojil is like a mile long. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there. You just get new items. Huh. Like, the problem with leveling up items is that, like, it's kind of, you could also just get new items. Like, you level up as your character, but items don't really, are they inanimate objects? Even if they're magical, they don't really get better. I'm not saying no, and it's not a bad idea, but also, Varel just got an inventory of, like, a complete armor set of new toys to play with. So there isn't really a need for it, I guess. If you're talking from like a balance, like just a meta game, like why don't items level up in D&D? It's mm-hmm. not necessary. Mm. But also, you could do it. It's just more to track. I mean, you don't even know the names of your spells, Nash. I'm not giving you something. Well, I'm giving you something that kind of does scale.
Savage.
Like, what's going on here? We're at our capacity for memorizing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need any more experience levels to track and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm not known for, well, anyone who ever heard us talk about Heroes of the Storm on Core knows that Circle Jerk is not the proper name.
That being said, artifacts are in D&D are noted for their sentience. Everyone but Stanley has one. And sentience doesn't mean it's a living creature, but it's imbued with the spirit of something. It communicates with it. Those things do have willpowers, and those willpowers can express themselves in ways that are meaningful to the story that also could involve them changing in some way. So that, I mean, that's possible. You have your wrench, Hope, and Varel. Grojil definitely has an influence over. It might not level up, but it has a mind of its own. It may decide to do something at some key point. You know, and you have some sort of dragon spirit inside you, Nash. What happens if that dragon spirit decides to do something you don't agree with?
Right.
So those are the dynamics of those items and what makes them interesting beyond their abilities. I don't know. I don't want to poo-poo on the question. It's just, there's no leveling up items in D&D.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I love it. Getting all salty about it.
Not salty, but you know.
I know what you mean.
There's enough to do already.
Sure.
Yeah, fair enough. For Hope, what was Hope thinking when Nash said we're just the backup? Hope really likes that because she doesn't like having attention on her. She likes people to think she's not powerful. So then she can kill an entire group of lizard folk, walk into a room, murder Illithid and other lizard folk. It's great.
You're the John Wick of reigning queens, I found. Like, you're not, you're just sort of trying to go about your day, but then someone kills your dog and that's it. Everyone's dead. You're all dead. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
I think that's pretty good.
Very good. This one, the first one's, it's great. First question, I should just ask it, how much weed have you smoked in your life, Scott? I've never played D&D and I swear half the shit Nash does is like hyper stoner mode. The weed part is you going, wait a second, what was that again? Maybe it's just old age.
I mean, for me, here's the absolute truth, and believe me or not, but the closest I've ever gotten to smoking pot was the dude next to me was really going hard at a concert I went to when I was 15. Other than that, never tried the stuff. I've never had pot in my system. I don't know a thing about it. But Nash, this kind of just happened over time. But Nash is kind of that, I don't know how to explain it. Because it's not, he's not meant to be this just that way for laughs. He's supposed to be reckless in a way that's, I don't know, Dark Knight Joker-y a little. Without the meanness or the anarchy, it's a little more like, it's really hard to explain. But he's evolved into his own thing. Like, I don't feel like I even have much control over it, even though I totally do. I just feel like it's gone here and that's where it wants to be. And so he's just that way. He just kind of acts like he's always high or he's being stupid or he's got a, you know, he gets too excited about stuff that you should probably shy away from or whatever. That's just him. And that's what I really liked about Chance's role play in these last couple of episodes. He is that happy-go-lucky, innocent, hug your leg. Varel said to go do something, so he's going to go do it even though things have changed, but he's still going to go do it, and you have to stop him. Like, I like when a character just leans into the thing that they are and they don't shy away from it. So that's what I try to do with. I think we all try to do other characters, but that's just Nash doing the same thing.
Totally. And the second question, how much Patreon/pod would you guys need to do a second full show a week?
That's a good question.
A bit more.
More than we have now.
A lot more than we have
now. A bit
now.
More.
But I'm not going to say it couldn't be done.
Yeah, it could be done. But it would have to be a lot more than it is now. I mean, we could probably even work out the math and tell people, hey, if we got to this, we'd do this. And maybe we will. But, you know,
I mean,
right
I
now,
think universally the will would be there. It's what can Bo do without dying? Oh. Like, Bo would have to be set up enough to just make this his job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't tie it to, you know, the amount there. I think it's more career consideration for me. I do work a full time 40 a week. So The weekend's nice for the show because I'm in a relaxed state.
Yeah.
Weeknights would be very difficult with a, you know, 9-to-5er. That's kind of the obstacle, I think. But it doesn't necessarily mean I have to do the second show or it has to be the same story necessarily. I could participate as player for someone who wanted to do it during the week if we had a certain Patreon goal. Like, I'd be amenable to that and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
A lot of ways to skin that cat if people just enjoy listening to the way we play D&D, which is, you know, its own brand of comedy and they like it. I don't know. I don't know what that number is, but I think it's possible. I don't think it has to be that high necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on it.
Every listener subscribe at just the dollar level.
I mean, it would be, that's literally would that would do it. But yeah, it never works that way. I mean, like I was doing some numbers the other day what was it? 7 days. I forgot the number is now, but in the month it was like 850,000 shows were downloaded, which includes this, the instance,
that's crazy.
TMS,
that's
a bunch of numbers, and it's great. That's but I looked nuts at that number and went, can you imagine if every person just did the one, even if they just did it for the month, 1 month at a dollar?
Yeah.
The things I could do. Oh my gosh, it would be insane. But it's always this numbers game, and you're always playing with, you know, it's always a smaller percentage, which is, you know, you hope to grow it and make it bigger and whatever. And the bigger the show gets, the bigger that percentage is, or the, not necessarily the percentage, it kind of stays the same, but there are more people and therefore it equals more. But yeah, that's, you know, the financial world of podcasting and content creation is held down by the fact that the internet is a mostly free thing for most people who, you know, just keep getting it for free. It's like, you know, the millions of people that listen to NPR never donate a dime, but then there's enough that donate that they can kind of keep things alive. And certainly it's enough for us to do this show right now. But if people really wanted us to go to town and create a, you know, a larger enterprise out of this, we'd have to blow up in that regard. So we'll see.
But also it wouldn't take blow up, but it wouldn't take like millions either, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, it might take millions.
But it'd be cool if you could explore Inverse more. I've been dying to get back to DMing, and I've been looking at that Curse of Strahd sandbox. Like there's the will to play. I just want to play more with you guys, honestly. Like every time I see any game on Steam, I'm like, oh damn, can we make time?
Can we do that game? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the other thing, is there's other avenues we could go down. It doesn't have to be necessarily a second session of D&D every week. It could be, you know, Bo's been itching to do Cyberpunk. Maybe that's a thing. You know, like anything's possible. It's just
I also want to do one shots of like the worst trash on DM's Guild. Oh. I shouldn't say trash, but you know, like the cheesiest.
Yeah, like a Mystery Science Theater.
You could call it Dumpster Fire.
Well, I mean, because I don't want to say trash, because it's not what I mean, but it's like there's an adventure on there.
People put work into it, even if it's maybe not.
There's an adventure on there called Nightmare on Gnome Street or something like that.
Oh my God.
And it's like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I imagine it's gnomes. I don't know anything about it, but I'm like, it's, you know, if there was just like a RPG that was just chickens and everyone had to role play a chicken.
B-movie sessions?
Yeah, like just B-movie set. Like I'd love to do like, we could do rotating, and just it could be the most poorly written thing or the weirdest thing, and we could just roll those. I think that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I don't think anyone's doing.
Yep, I agree. That would be
not the good ones, the worst ones.
Oh yeah, the worst ones.
The weirdest and the worst.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole point. If we could figure out a way to do it, we'd do it. So yes, the answer is yes. It just we don't know.
Yes, there's definitely a will to do it and desire.
The will is there. The ability to do it would need. We just need all of us would need more to make it happen. It's literally just, you know, paying the bills and making it work.
Mm-hmm. All right, question for Bo. First, I love the world you've created and your DM style. But why, when you play, are your characters such dicks? Is it because you're so nice in the real world and want a break? Or do you have another reason? I want you to know that this is not something personal, as the characters are the characters and not you. But I wanted to know if you go into playing a character knowing that they'll be jerks to others around them in general.
I mean, I'm self-aware, so I know that they're going to be difficult. They're going to be a handful.
Yeah.
And I think that's more my personality than it's the characters I'm coming up with. But I think it has more to do with how we've also played D&D. Like, I find our D&D sessions here, everyone's very respectful and very, you know, if someone else is speaking, they let the other person speak. They don't try to disrupt them. But the kind of D&D that I would play with at home friends, not online friends, because I always say friends, but then you guys are friends too. So I don't want to make it sound that way.
Right.
Is the more like, you know, we're relaxing and having fun. So yes, role playing correctly means X, but having fun on a Saturday night means, you know, pantsing someone in the middle of combat so they trip and fall, and, you know, not caring too much. Finding that balance between screwing one another and having a laugh versus taking the game seriously. So I just have that like impulse to just be bad.
Well, if that makes sense. Our world, I feel like our world, I mean, all D&D to some level has some of that, but our world in particular is just such a dirty, awful, desert, ruined place that it fits there. Like,
no, but they mean when I play a character. So when I'm Baffled Souls,
I see.
He's like, I'm nice and great, and then all of a sudden you put me in the hands of a character, and I'm like the biggest asshole in the universe. And that's true. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's just Bo. I think right now we're in a world that personifies that, like Bo creates the world, and so there's a lot of us, like normal-ish people, as much as you can describe our characters as such, in this chaotic world. And I think when you take Bo out of the person running the world, you just get the reverse of that. You get all of his chaos and all of his everything, and it just boils down and laser focuses into one character. So, and there will be dungeons, it's blown up, it's in the world, it's creating scenarios where people are going to vomit for a minute into a room nonstop. That's where Bo manifests in the world. In a world that's serious, that's not likely to cause that to happen. That's just going to be one character. He's going to be off looking for drugs or whatever he can do to be in that same headspace.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't do any drugs last time we played.
Usually you do, but not then. Okay.
Oh, my character.
You did.
Yeah, Silver Sleep. I mean, I asked if I had some, but we never actually did a scene or anything where I put it on my eyeballs, on my eyelids.
Would have explained your behavior a little bit better if you had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be a lot cooler if you did.
All right. Next question.
All right. I'm curious about the constitution saves in the angel battle. In the finger losing roles, shouldn't that have been strength competitions? And shouldn't have the sword wrist cut been a straight attack roll with hit points?
No.
Okay.
So you might have performed an analysis of the rule book suggesting what might be the most likely way to do it, but and it could be that you are correct. However, you know, as the DM in the moment making that decision based on what I'd created for the character, it was right. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Without being, you know.
That makes sense, sure.
The DM makes the call for what's going on. So if it doesn't adhere to something in the rules necessarily, and the DM's like, oh, that's how it works, then that's just how it works.
Yeah, so that brings up a really good question. How lenient are you with yourself when it comes to rules policing? Because I know us as team players, we don't really...
Well, if something comes up...
There's some discussion, but...
If something comes up and I look at it and I'm like, I would have decided to do things differently had I remembered this, I will backtrack with the party and make those corrections. Like, I try to be, you know, I feel like, oh, this is really unfair or blindsided or had a big impact. Like, hopefully, I think this is a self-assessment, but hopefully I do go back and like say like, no, I rolled wrong. I think I've done this on the show before. It needs to be this way. And if a player brings up a concern that also makes me feel the same way, then I want to do that because we're here to have fun. So if something... you know, definitely is just feels wrong, I'll do that. But technically your DM can just be like, throw out all the rules and just decides what happens and you have to live with it. That's sort of the, and that might frustrate you as a player, but, and my goal is not to frustrate any players, but it's just, yeah, Varel got his fingers pulled off. They're going to, you know, fortunately he lived through it, but you all have to deal with how that happened. That's one where I'm just like, just deal with it.
Sure.
Respectfully and with love.
Sure.
All right. And then one for everybody. What's your current primary motivation in the campaign? And is there anyone jonesing to get back to some quest line that we've left behind?
Oh, wow. I mean, not really. For me anyway, because I feel like I like being taken somewhere. And there's nothing that I'm.
Oh.
I mean, I like this.
You're that kind of girl, huh? Yeah.
I like that feeling of like, oh, we're going where? Okay, whatever. I'm in. Let's go. Like, I don't really dwell too much on loose ends. Part of that is I just sort of put them out of my head and think about what's happening now. But it's also kind of nice down the road when Bo will suddenly insert a character and we're like, oh my gosh, that guy's back. Like, we haven't seen him since. Forever ago, or like, you know, recently having the gnomes back has been kind of a flashback, at least for John and I, because we had, you know, dealings with them before. I do like that a lot, but I'm in no rush to go, man, I wish Bo would hurry and finish this part so I can go do this other thing. Like, it doesn't really bug me. Although mind flayers are starting to piss me off, but other than that, you know, they're just, and what we did today was really great. In that regard,
it was cathartic in a lot of ways. Yeah, actually,
it really was.
Like, as each mind flayer went into the beam and disintegrated, I just felt like it made me aware of how I was feeling because I was just like, "Oh, look at that!
Yeah.
I feel so good."
I spent a lot of time constructing that encounter for you to just trivialize it. Hope,
especially Hoochie Boochie or whatever.
Why were there two rockets?
I don't know. I don't plan them like you're supposed to do is X with X. You did great. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it on the record. You know, that room was designed over the span of many hours. Whole box in with a rocket. It's like boom, boom.
It's like the lizard folk.
It's okay. Oh, you did the right thing. It's not a criticism. It's just funny how, you know, you can't plan for this kind of stuff. I don't. It put one thing somewhere and who knows where it's going to turn
out. It was. I mean, I don't know about you, Kristen. This would be my question for you. For me, it was extremely cathartic because every fight has been such an uphill struggle in this dungeon. And just like, oh my gosh, we're skin of our teeth. Mind flayers have been such a nightmare. And then on top of that, there's just the memory of how the rocket launcher went the first time. Mm. And so for it to not only work, but work really well and help make this fight, you know, we'll see how easy it made the fight. Yeah. But, you know, definitely had an impact. It felt really good. Yeah. For I'm once. So I was just like, scared. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. No, if to clear out the trash, but that's what it feels like it's been designed for. It's to clear out the trash because we've got a floating mind flayer who wasn't knocked back. He just kind of, woof, there goes the fire. And then a giant lich dragon in the center with a little elf girl. I mean, I think Saranthalos's death was probably the one I was most, thank God.
Yeah, she sucked. Beam.
She's not coming back.
Yeah, F that lady.
Well,
she's horrendous.
I hope not.
All that, yeah. After actually, we probably shouldn't gloat too much because Bo in his head is going warm.
Bo's yeah. Like, you don't want to hear from Saranthalas again, huh? Let me write down on a piece of paper for no reason.
I mean, if I really felt that way, I could just make a sister called Saranthalas.
Have you seen my sister Saranthalas?
Damn it.
Let me
There's
give
like
you
a
necklace.
Ball.
Okay, let me put it on.
You still have the necklace on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I tried to take it off, I got electrocuted.
This is funny that it's still on there.
I don't know. Like, to answer the question, I've definitely, you know, I feel like I've experienced a dungeon. I'm ready to not be experiencing a dungeon and get back to other things, but I don't think there's anything that I'm just like, that's the storyline for me. That's what I want to chase down. I'm excited to see, you know, there's that, you do a thing and then you see the repercussions of that. And we've been doing a lot of doing the thing. And so I think I'm excited to get back out in the world and see what the repercussions are going to be. And, you know, we had a lot of things all happen right in town, even as we were leaving. And there were a lot of teases as far as Principal City and all of that. And so I think there's just a lot of intrigue out there that I'm excited to explore. So I think that's maybe where I'm at. As far as Stanley's motivation, I don't know. Stanley's been lost for a little bit. And I don't think I think right now the reason all he's talked about is saving the little girl is because I don't think he has much beyond that at the moment.
Well, that brings us to a close. That's all the time we have, folks. 32 minutes of quality content right there in your pants. Wait, what? Hey, we'll be back doing this again 1 month from now. One more of these.
That ain't bad.
Yeah. We'll do this again, and we look forward to it greatly. If you have feedback for us, please consider sending it, because that's how we fill the bonus show, is with your calls, or not your calls. I guess we could do calls. With your emails, with your texts, with your stuff. You can even send us a tweet. We'll write some of that stuff down. If you're on our Discord, that's a great place for it as well. Kristen is very kindly putting all this stuff together all the time, and we appreciate her hard work as well. I think that's going to do it. Until next month for our bonus show and next week for our new episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being here. What else? That's it. ThereWillBeDungeons.com. I'm Scott Johnson. Big thanks to Bo, John, Kristen, Kyle, and Baby Arm Flynn. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Now we're going to delve into some penis talk.